temperature if I try it, but that they contain what?
Oxycodone and acetaminophen.
Now, in your experience and your training in this field, do you know whether sometimes homemade pills are given those same markings to make them look legitimate?
Yes.
That can happen?
Yes.
And so in this case, you got that initial indication from the markings, but you proceeded to follow through with the testing, correct?
Yes.
And you tested both of those pills, correct?
Yes.
And did you follow all the standard procedures you need to do when performing that kind of testing for your laboratory?
Yes.
And what were the results of the testing?
The tablets contained methamphetamine and fentanyl.
And are you able at the BCA lab to quantify how much methamphetamine or fentanyl are in those pills?
For methamphetamine, yes. For fentanyl, no.
And so were you asked to do some additional testing with other items in this case?
Yes.
And were those items 51, 52, and 53?
Yes.
All right, so let's look at item 51 first. That item, can you describe for the jurors the condition of that item when you saw it?
It appeared to be a partial white and pink tablet with no observable markings.
And did you then test that item as well?
Yes.
And again, cut a portion of it off for the testing?
Yes.
And did you follow the necessary procedures to conduct the testing on that item as well?
Yes.
And what were the results of that testing?
Methamphetamine.
And were you able to detect any other controlled substances in that pill through that testing?
Not conclusively.
And what do you mean by that?
Per our policies and our procedures, there are certain requirements that we have to conclusively identify a substance. Methamphetamine was the only substance that was identified.
So were there other substances that were not detected in a sufficient amount to have you identify them as present?
Yes.
And do you know what substance that would have been that you found that way?
Per our testing, I can't confirm or state any identity of those substances.
Okay. And that's because you have to have a certain, you have to identify a certain amount before you can say it's present.
Yes.
We might call that a threshold, right?
We don't use that word in this type of testing.
It's just not enough there to say it's there.
It doesn't meet all the requirements that we have to give an identification.
I should have asked you just to explain rather than me try to do it. But, all right, so did you also then do a testing on item 52?
Yes.
And did you incidentally weigh item 52?
Yes.
Do you remember the approximate weight?
0.019 plus or minus 0.005 grams.
So can you give us some scale there? Is that, in terms of a pill, is that a small weight, a large weight?
It was a partial amount of what would be a tablet. If you think of a normal type of Tylenol-type tablet, you're going to get a weight approximately about 0.5 grams. This was 0.019.
And did you also conduct testing on item 52 using the appropriate procedures for your laboratory?
Yes.
And what was the result of that testing?
Methamphetamine.
Were you able to identify any other substances in that pill?
No.
And item 53, did you also conduct some testing on item 53?
Yes.
And can you describe the condition of item 53 when you looked at it?
Similar in appearance to item 51 and 52, only a much smaller amount.
Do you recall the weight of item 53?
It was less than 0.01 grams.
So even less than 52?
Yes.
And did you conduct testing on that item as well using the standard procedures in your laboratory?
Yes.
And what was the result of that testing?
Methamphetamine.
Were you able to call the presence of any other substances in item 53?
No.
And did you also, or did you conduct some testing on item 54?
I did not.
Why not?
It was not submitted to me for analysis.
Okay. That's all I have, Your Honor.
Ms. Nelson?
Good afternoon. Just a couple of very brief questions, ma'am. The first test you did was the testing of the marijuana, correct? The pipe that where you recovered THC, correct?
Yes.
All right. But then the second test you did in report number 9, you tested the pills that appeared to have the pharmaceutical markings, correct?
Yes.
You looked up those pharmaceutical markings. They were consistent with oxycodone, correct, and Tylenol?
And acetaminophen, yes.
And acetaminophen, okay. And the weight of those pills was 0.397 plus or minus 0.005 grams, correct?
That was the weight of one of those pills.
One of those pills. And those pills were did not appear to be, you could see the pharmaceutical markings on them, right?
Yes.
Now, the items that you tested, 51, 52, and 53, 51 appeared to be a more consistent pill, correct? Like, looked like a pill.
Yes, it looked like a partial pill.
And that weight was 0.269 plus or minus 0.005 grams, correct?
Yes.
And 52 was a more of a part of what appeared to be a pill, right?
Yes.
And that was 0.019 grams, correct?
Yes.
Plus or minus the 0.005.
Yes.
And so the difference between item number 52 and item number 48 would be 0.39 grams, give or take, right?
Can you repeat what items those were?
Sure. Item 52 was 0.019, and item 48 was 0.397.
Yes.
Okay. And then you did, just to be clear, item 48 came from the center console of the Mercedes-Benz, or were identified as coming from the center console of the Mercedes-Benz, correct?
To my knowledge, yes.
And that's what was reported to you?
Yes.
And the other items, 51, 52, 53, and 54, they came from the backseat, or they were identified as coming from the backseat of Squad 320, correct?
I can't speak to 54.
But
51, 52, and 53, yes.
They were identified coming from the backseat of Squad 320.
Yes.
And in terms of is it fair to say that there was some evidence that didn't meet your laboratory scientific threshold or scientific standards that a different controlled substance was potentially present?
There were indications of other substances. I can't speak to whether they are controlled or not controlled substances.
Okay, and those were brought to the attention of everybody involved, right?
For business purposes, it is in my notes.
Okay. And that was fentanyl.
I can't confirm.
Because it simply didn't meet that laboratory requirement.
Yes.
In terms of quantity, right?
The testing I did not have any type of quantitative measurement.
But in terms of whatever other markings you may be looking for, right? Whatever guidelines. You can't say it was or wasn't fentanyl.
Yes.
I have nothing further.
Anything further? All right, thank you. Let me sit down. Next witness?
Yes. Last one. Calls.
You swear or affirm under penalty of perjury that the testimony you're about to give be the truth and nothing but the truth?
I did.
And if you wouldn't mind removing your mask for testimony, that would be excellent. And let's begin by having you state your full name, spelling each of your names.
Susan Lynn Neith, N-E-I-T-H.
Susan, common spelling?
S-U-S-A-N.
Thank you.
Good afternoon, Ms. Neath. Hello. Where do you work, ma'am?
I work at NMS Labs in Pennsylvania.
And what's your job title?
I'm a forensic chemist.
How long have you worked at NMS Labs?
I've worked for approximately 27 years, 15 of which in the capacity of a forensic chemist.
What did you do there other than being a forensic chemist?
I did GLP testing as a study manager, and I also did quantitative analysis in biological samples.
You mentioned GLP testing. What is that?
That stands for Good Laboratory Practices. We conducted studies on animal assays, clinical trials, and we would test the samples from the animals and create reports regarding the findings of those studies.
Prior to joining NMS Labs, did you have any other lab or pharmaceutical experience?
I did work in the pharmaceutical industry for about 7 years.
Could you describe your educational background for the jury?
I have a Bachelor of Science degree in medical technology from Hahnemann University in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania.
And do you have any specialized training or certifications to do the work you do as a forensic chemist?
I'm certified by the American Board of Criminalistics in drug analysis, and I also have a license from the Texas Forensic Science Commission in drug analysis as well.
And are you up to date on all of the requirements for licensure and certification?
Yes.
Getting back to NMS Labs, is NMS a licensed and accredited laboratory?
Yes.
And in terms of your job as a forensic chemist, can you maybe describe your job duties on a day-to-day basis for the jurors?
As I analyze substances for the presence of controlled substance or other pharmaceutical drugs, I perform quantitative analysis as well for controlled substances and pharmaceutical drugs. I prepare reports that summarize the findings of my analysis, and I also do peer review of other analysts' data. I do instrument maintenance, calibration, troubleshooting, and I also represent NMS at forensic meetings, doing presentations as well.
And approximately how many tests have you performed as a forensic chemist at NMS Labs over the course of your career?
Approximately 6,000 tests, approximately 4,000 of which were quantitative analysis.
And you talked about quantitative analysis. Could you just describe what that is and what that process looks like?
It's a process to determine how much drug is in a substance, what the concentration is.
And do you follow certain steps in order to perform a quantitative analysis?
Yes, we have standard operating procedures.
And just sort of as a general overview, what steps do you go through when you get a substance for quantitative analysis?
So the evidence will come in, we will open it and describe it and take an analytical weight of the material. And then when we perform the analysis, we will generate a calibration curve from a certified reference standard. So that means I will make four different levels of that drug,
and create a calibration curve from that. Also, we will prepare, or I will prepare a control sample as well to run along to show that our line is good. And the sample itself will be prepared in triplicate. We run it three separate times, and we report the mean concentration of those three replicates. We also do another replicate where we add a known amount of the drug of interest to show that we are recovering the drug from the matrix that it's in.
So you described doing an initial weight of the substance you receive, is that right?
Yes.
And then subsequently going through this process for testing. Is that accurate?
That's accurate.
And are there particular tests you do for identification and then additional testing you might do for confirmation?
Yes, depending on the analysis requested, we will do an identification as well to assure that the drug that we want to quantitate is actually in the sample first. And then we do a screening method by gas chromatography, mass spectrometry to identify the compounds that are in the substance. And then from there, we can do a targeted analysis for quantitative analysis. So that that analysis is specific for one individual drug.
And then you also described that there's a peer review process as well, that standard operating procedure for NMS labs, is that right?
Yes.
So I'm going to talk about or ask you some questions about some testing that you did related to this case. Did you receive three pills from the VCA to perform testing on?
Yes.
And did those consist of two pills identified as VCA item 48, as well as one pill identified as, or partial pill identified as VCA item 51?
That's correct.
And did you do a quantitative analysis for each of those pills to determine both the amounts of fentanyl and methamphetamine in each of those three substances?
I did.
Let's talk first about item 41, which was the two pills together. What was your understanding of where those pills had come from?
Did you mean 48?
I'm sorry, 48. Okay. 48.
It's my understanding they were retrieved from the console of a Mercedes.
And what condition were those pills in item 48 in when you received them for testing?
They were not complete tablets. They had a portion that appeared to be cut off of it, so I couldn't read the exact monogramming on either tablet. They appeared to be round tablets, nothing out of the ordinary.
You mentioned some monogramming. Did you note monogramming on those pills?
It's noted in the description on the analytical report.
And would it refresh your recollection to see your report to describe that monogramming?
Yes.
I would put on the screen just for the witness to refresh her recollection. Exhibit 628, please. And looking now at your report, does that refresh your recollection with respect to what you observed in terms of monogramming on item 48?
Yes.
And what did you observe?
The first tablet from agency item number 48 was a partial round white tablet that was monogrammed with a 0 and a 2-5 on one side and a capital P on the other side. The second tablet in agency item number 48 was a partial round white tablet that was monogrammed 3-2-5 on one side and capital R, capital P on the other side.
And aside from the portions of those pills that may have been cut to perhaps eliminate some portion of the monogramming, did they appear consistent with one another?
They appeared to be.
All right, we can take that down, thank you. Did you initially perform fentanyl quantification testing on those two pills identified as BCA item 48? Yes. And what do you have to do after taking a weight in terms of next steps for that process to occur?
So I photographed the tablets because I wanted to grind them before analysis to ensure that they're fully mixed before I take samples for analysis. So to preserve the visual appearance of the tablet before I did that, I took a photograph and then ground the tablets.
And then did you ultimately come up with a quantitative level with respect to fentanyl in those items, the two pills that were part of item 48?
Yes.
And then did you also later perform additional quantification testing, quantitative testing, on item 48 for purposes of identifying methamphetamine?
Yes, I did.
And did you follow that same type of process, although the pills would already have been ground at that point, is that right?
Yes, that's correct.
Did you also perform testing on an item identified as BCA item 51?
Yes.
And what was your understanding of where that item originated from?
It originated in the rear passenger side of a squad car, a police car.
And did you perform quantitative testing for both fentanyl and methamphetamine on that item as well?
Yes, I did.
And what was the condition of BCA item 51 when you first received it for testing?
That was also a partial tablet with no visible monogramming of any kind on, and it had a little bit of what appeared to be red staining on the tablet.
Was the texture of that item different in any way from the other two pills you had previously tested?
It seemed to have a rougher surface consistency compared to the other two that were smoother in appearance.
Ultimately, did you issue a report documenting your findings with respect to the fentanyl and methamphetamine levels in both of the pills in item 48 as well as the pill in BCA item 51?
Yes.
Do you recall the details of those findings offhand?
I would need to view the report again.
And we will put Exhibit 628 up just for the witness to refresh her recollection. And seeing your report, does that refresh your recollection with respect to your findings?
Yes.
And this continues on from page 1 to page 2, so just focusing in on the first part of your findings. What did you find with respect to BCA item 48?
In both of those cases, the fentanyl concentration was less than 1%. For exhibit, the NMS exhibit 1, which was the first tablet of item 48, the methamphetamine was 1.9%, and again, fentanyl less than 1%. For NMS item 2, or the second tablet in item 48, the fentanyl was less than 1%, and the methamphetamine was 2%.
And then, with respect to BCA item 51, what were your findings with respect to BCA item 51?
Fentanyl was less than 1%, and methamphetamine purity was 2.9%.
And with respect to fentanyl, is that amount, well, how does that amount, this less than 1% amount, compare to what you would expect to see for street fentanyl in your experience?
In my personal experience, when I've quantitated fentanyl in powders or tablets, generally we see levels that are low and less than 1%, or maybe slightly above 1%.
So having a level under 1% with respect to fentanyl purity is common, and sometimes it may be slightly higher. Is that your experience?
In my experience, yes.
And with respect to the amounts of methamphetamine, ranging from 1.9% through 2.9% purity, how does that compare to what you typically see in your line of work for street or recreational methamphetamine?
That result is low. Generally, we see higher levels in methamphetamine samples that I have tested.
And when you say higher levels, approximately what percentages of purity do you typically look at for street methamphetamine?
Majority of the time, I see 90 to 100% methamphetamine.
Nothing further, Your Honor.
Mr. Nelson? No question. Hey, thank you. You're excused. Members of the jury, we're going to recess until tomorrow morning. We have some matters to take care of, but we're still going to shoot for 9:15 tomorrow. Thank you.